Welcome, everybody, to the Gospel Talks podcast. And this is a podcast that belongs to the Exchange Ministries. And so our website, exchangemessage.org, is full of tools and resources for those who are around the world and witnessing to unbelievers. The whole purpose of this is to equip believers in relational evangelism and discipleship all around the world for any context, because the truth is timeless and it's eternal because it comes from the Word of God. And so here with Jeff Musgrave, the writer of the Exchange, and I'm George Binoka, his co-host, and we just did a couple episodes, and we're doing a series of episodes on, you know, what kind of things are you going to run into when you first start talking with an unbeliever? And the truth is, more things than we can probably cover in this podcast. This next one is really interesting because I think it's very fitting for the situation, especially here in the States. And the question is this: how exclusive should we be toward other worldviews when witnessing? Because people tend to kind of balk at truth, even as a concept, let alone being exclusive or intolerant.
Yeah, I think this is a hard question. I think I want to answer that question with a question, but I also, before I do that, just want to give the thought process that I've got some tools that I think will be helpful to help and re-engage people, even when we have to say things that are difficult.
Yeah.
So the first question to me, this is really the real question, is how exclusive is the gospel?
Huh.
I mean, the fact is that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." The apostles said, "There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So the when I am asked how exclusive, you know, should we be, and the answer is how exclusive is the gospel? There is no other way.
Yes.
Go ahead. You had something.
No, I mean that's the exact verse. I was just I'm in the middle of an Exchange Bible study right now with a guy coming out of the Mormon Church. I think I've made reference to him on the podcast before, and you know, he loves the Bible. And one of the first things he asked is like, okay, so is your church going to be one of those churches where, like, you're going to be unaccepting of somebody because they like? Are you okay with just accepting everybody? And I said, well, let me just tell you what Jesus said. I'll tell you how exclusive and unaccepting we are, or the measure of which. And it was this verse, John 14:6.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that on the other side, we can help everybody understand how ultimately inclusive Jesus is. He literally says, "I'm standing at the door and knocking. If anyone will open the door, I'll come in." So the problem is not that, you know, it's exclusive. It's only for certain people. The problem is that we are all so desperately ill that we need the one medicine. we are all so lost.
Right.
We need one rescuer, and Jesus is that rescuer. That's the real issue.
Right. And people have other worldviews, so they're coming from different places. Now, one of the things that happens is, and I think we were even talking about, there's an awesome analogy, I don't know if you can share it, about a loaded gun.
Yeah.
but people go, well, you know, it's been my experience, you know, for instance, you know, people in the Mormon Church, they have an experience when they're reading the Book of Mormon, a kind of burning in the bosom, you know, they might call it, or we might call it that, but they call it a Holy Spirit experience, actually. And people come, you know, I think I did have a genuine experience. And it's hard to argue experience against experience. So, you know, I know the next question we're getting to is, okay, like, you know, how patient, you know, should you be, but at any point, do you have to kind of establish common ground about what the Word of God is and that being the source of truth? Or
yeah, I think that I have to say I don't have any other answers. So, you know, they get to look at whatever they want to. I don't get to control them. I don't get to control the way they think. I just have to establish the reality that this is the only answer I have. And let me just give you... So I had a friend, his name is Carlton, and interesting story. There's the backstory of this is really interesting. We called him our Nicodemus for a long, long time, but didn't even know his name for a long time. Just kind of saw him in the distance. Took forever to be able to set up a time in which we could actually talk. And I would just say this from moment one, when Carlton and I sat down to start talking, we loved each other. It was just, it was just one of those mutual admirations and appreciations of each other. It was just really, really a special relationship. Carlton was an absolute atheist. I mean, his byline was that,
interesting,
that God is the figment of weak men's imagination, that it was created, God was created as a crutch for weak men. People who are weak need a God as a crutch. His big word was crutch. I mean, it's just a crutch. And I don't know what you think when people say that to you, but I mean, immediately my temper's starting to come up and I want to
fight. Kind of insulting. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes God just gives you words to say. And I think that one of the greatest questions you can ask someone when they say, I don't believe in God, sometimes it's almost as if they're putting their hand out and saying, I don't want to talk about this. So, I mean, should I just simply say, fine? And I don't know about you, but I'm not okay with that. I care about what's going to happen to that person. I care about where they are in life too much to just let them go. So I think another question would be, how patient should I be? Mm. How understanding should I be about other worldviews? So when I was with Carlton, I said, you know, I am super interested in how people get this way. So tell me, how did you get to the place where you decided there was no God? Hmm. And what I found that did was it just totally re-engaged him. So instead of, you know, I don't really want to talk about this, now he's telling me a story. This is his life. And he gets to tell me all of the nitty-gritty of why he decided that weak men see God as a crutch. And when he finished with his story, I just said, you know, Carlton, I get it. I mean, I totally understand how looking from the outside in, you would say that. I mean, I that totally makes sense to me. But suppose for a moment that there really is a God and that it's not weak men that need him, but all of us need him. In fact, the Bible tells us, and that's one of the things I kept saying to him over and over, the Bible tells us that God created all of us with a God-shaped hole in our heart. It's like there's this vacuum inside of us and that nothing can satisfy it. And God put it there on purpose so that we would recognize, I need something else, and we'd go looking for him. And I just mentioned these words to him. I said, Carlton, you can put in drugs, sex, materialism, success, but none of that is going to satisfy those deep needs of your heart because only God can fill that. Well, I didn't know this at the time, but Carlton, at the age of 35, which is how old he was when I was talking to him, had already met all of his financial goals for his lifetime. He was raised in a very, very low economic situation, literally worked his way through college, became a financial advisor, and by the age of 35, he had accomplished all of his financial goals, and he was sitting literally on top of his world, and here was what he was thinking. He didn't tell me at the time. Huh. This is it. This is what it's supposed to feel like. I mean, this is... And so when I said that, it resonated with him. It was like all of a sudden he recognized, there's something else here. So people like Carlton, I think that we have to recognize that rather than brief conversations with a brief gospel, we're going to need more time and more truth.
Yes.
Because we're not going to get there and just, you know, let me give you the ABCs of the gospel.
Drive by evangelism.
One, two, three, repeat after me. And it's just not going to happen. So Carlton was curious, but that wasn't enough for him. Mm. He kept saying to me, I don't believe the Bible. So eventually, I feel like this is just something God gave me. I said, well, Carlton, let me ask you a question. What would you say the main theme of the Bible is? And he kind of hemmed and hawed around and eventually said, I don't know. And I said, well, you know, I have this four-lesson Bible study. and it deals with who God is, how to have a close relationship with God. It's just basically, literally, just verses from the Bible that you read and learn for yourself. I said,
wow.
Let's you and I study it together. I said, at least at the end of the four lessons, you'll know what it is you don't believe. Because he was telling me he doesn't believe the Bible, but he doesn't know what it says. And I believe that Carlton was intellectually honest enough to say, I'm saying I don't believe it. I really don't know what it says. I'm a little curious as to what this guy's talking about. Mm. Yeah, I think I'd take a look at that. Mm. So he did lesson one before I got there. We just talked about it. It took us 3 hours.
Wow.
And it only took us 3 hours because we started at 8 o'clock at night. And by 11 o'clock at night, I was so tired I had to go home. So I was like, okay, I'm done.
Sorry, man.
We'll start next week. And the entire night was literally one worldview clashing into another.
Wow.
It was, wait a minute, that can't be true because. I mean, over and over and over. I mean, that was I would say, here's what the Bible says. He would say, that can't be true because. So just this clash.
Wow.
We got to the car. And my wife said to me, we got to get him a Josh McDowell book or something. He didn't believe any of this stuff.
Huh.
And it was way back when I first wrote the Exchange Bible Study. And I wanted to see what would happen. You know, the Bible says, in fact, this is what I told Anna. I said, let's just give this Bible study a chance. She remembers hearing it. Let's just give the gospel a chance.
Huh.
Because the gospel says, I am in the world convincing the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment,
yes.
The very things that that Bible study deals with, the Bible says God's going to convince him.
Yes.
So lesson two, we're dealing with the fact that God is just and people are condemned because of their sin. And it was still 3 hours. It was still one conflict, you know, again, but it was a little bit different. The slight difference was, wait a minute, if that's true, what about? And I mean, the same arguments, basically the same stuff. It was basically his worldview versus the Bible. But it was almost like there was a question mark in his brain. And here's the crazy thing. When he did lesson three, where it talks about what Jesus did to rescue us from our sin and the exchange that he made with us, literally trading places, taking our penalty and giving us his righteousness. Hmm. Carlton came to me separate from the Bible study, and he said, I don't need to study anymore. I know it's true. I want to make that exchange that God told us about.
Wow.
And that was 20 years ago. Carlton's still walking with the Lord.
Wow.
And it all came from just trusting the Bible to do the work that God promised that he would do.
Wow. You know, so many times people feel like they have to have an intellectual argument. You know, they have to convince them logically. And what you did there was just show him the Bible. But I love the way you described it. You said it's a clash of worldviews. Yeah. And I could see two worlds smashing together. And how painful initially those conversations are is as painful as that image is in your head. But then, you know, you gave the gospel a chance. You use the Bible study, which, by the way, I feel is key. If you're going to do an exchange Bible study, try as much as possible to get through the Bible study. Don't get so off track and into other arguments and other resources that you never finish it. It's so key to just let the word do the heavy lifting.
I think that I like to think of it as a good cop, bad cop. I get to be the good cop, put my arm around my friend, let the Bible study be the bad cop, and do the hard work for me. But sometimes if we get so caught up in all these other arguments, we're actually removing the most powerful tool that God gave us, which is the Word of God.
Yes.
You know, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is alive and effective, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I think that's an interesting phrase, because this is in the middle of the Roman Empire when that was written, and it was the two-edged sword, the Roman two-edged sword that conquered the world. And literally what the writer of Hebrews was saying is that this is the most powerful weapon in the world. It's more powerful than that.
Wow.
So, I mean, we might say stealth bombers today.
Right.
But we don't have a more powerful weapon. It is the most powerful weapon. It is a tool that God uses to rescue the souls of men.
And I think it's, you got to keep that central, because one of the things I've run into, I've done an exchange Bible study with an unbeliever. I'm doing a couple exchange Bible studies right now. We're doing one with an Iranian couple. So what do Baptists believe about this? And I just say, who cares?
Yeah.
Let me just show you what the Bible says. Well, what do you think about this? Oh, that doesn't matter. That matters nothing to you. What I think, who cares? Let me show you what the Bible says. But what people want to do is stand on identity of something else, you know, it's like, or the history of something else. And we got to be really careful there, because it's like all of a sudden we are preaching out of tradition and not out of God's word.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love the Exchange Bible Study, because literally what we're saying is just look, see it for yourself. I mean, this is not me versus you. This is just look to see what God said. It's right here in the book.
Yes. I mean, I believe it's okay to just tell people, this is what I hold to. And also take them to not just the passage like John 14:6, but be willing to take them to 1 John and say, hey, there's no darkness in the light. And then take them to 2 John and say, this is what we talk about, false teachers. Mm. There is false teachers.
Yeah.
There, truth, by very definition, means there is a false. And you can't get any more exclusive than Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And if everything is true, nothing is true. Yeah. It just, you know, you can't have both.
And I think this is a great logical argument, and that is that there's only one truth, but there's a lot of lies.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way lies work.
Right.
You can come up with all kinds of lies, but the person who's telling the truth has to stick to this.
I love that you brought that up, because something just popped back in my mind. I think I might have heard this at the exchange seminar, is that one of the ways we train bank tellers, you know, how to spot counterfeits, is by extended time with the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
So putting the right currency, you know, the actual currency from the U.S. Treasury, the mint, in their hand, so they feel those bills over and over and over and over again. And what happens is more exposure to the real thing, the more easily you can identify this is a fake.
There's the counterfeit.
You just know it. And I think that's the key, is this person has lived with counterfeit in their life, in their heart, for who knows how long.
Yeah.
And now you're taking them something and saying, this isn't the counterfeit, this is actually the real thing. And it's just going to take extended time for them to, for their soul to realize, you know, for their spiritual side to realize, oh, this is what I was looking for.
And I never feel like it's my job to prove it. Hmm. That I really feel like it's the Holy Spirit's job to convince them. So when we get to a place of disagreement, then I literally do this. I mean, I back off and I say, okay, you get to believe whatever you want to believe. That's your choice. But would you agree that this is what the Bible says? Because that's my job. My job is to help them see it, to help them get it. God's job is to convince them of that. And I've just watched it over and over. God does it.
Amen. Amen. And he's doing it over and over again. Well, folks, that was episode 4 of Gospel Talks, and it's a podcast by the Exchange Ministries. And we're praying for you guys as you guys talk to unbelievers, as you witness to people with other worldviews, that God would give you the grace to approach those conversations in a way that glorifies him. So pray with us as we pray for you, and pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the field, because the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. God bless you guys. See you next week. Thank you again for listening. God bless.